I'm a mythical Pandora,
sent here to judge the universe.
Do you have any idea what the weapon is?
It could very well be a planet killer.
I would really like to go on this mission, Admiral.
Imagine having the power to annihilate entire worlds, and even the stars themselves.
Humanity is worth saving. What have you done?
Pandora. New episodes premiere October 4th. Free next day, only on the CW app.
Catch up with the entire season of Pandora anytime on the CW app or download it on iTunes. You can also watch Pandora in Canada on the Space Channel.
Welcome back to Unboxing Pandora, the podcast where we take a behind-the-scenes look into the hit CW show Pandora. My name is Peter Holmstrom. I'm the writer's assistant on the show and your host today. On today's podcast, we have actor John Harlan Kim, who plays Greg Lee on Pandora, the doctor who is too awesome that he won't stay dead. You might also know John. You might also know John from such roles as in The Librarians and Hawaii Five-O, and was recently up to the series regular role on hit CBS drama 9-1-1. John, thanks so much for being here today.
Hey, mate. Fox drama, but I mean, yeah. Fair.
I'm so sorry.
No. You shouldn't be. I have to make sure I get that right. You know, it'd be terrible if I was starting to call out, like, you know, the hit Hulu Disney Plus thing. You're okay. Do you want to redo that? Or I'm happy to keep rolling. But
Let's keep rolling. Why not?
Yeah.
I hate the stereotype, but 9-1-1, it sounds like a CBS show.
Yeah. Well, 5-0 was CBS, so yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Awesome. What's going on? Good morning or good evening?
Good morning, yes. For you. I guess it's technically morning for me as well, but it's about 12:30 a.m. for me, and for you it's a little different. My first question right now. You were over there, you were on the set, you were on location. How are things going?
It's good. It's really good. We're here in sunny Sofia. The weather has been perfectly complimenting of our uplifted moods. I think it's been just sort of a joy to return to filming, return to set, and be back amongst it. You know, I think a lot of us were itching to get back to work after the year that the world, sure, planet Earth has had. And so it's been kind of nice. I think definitely the first couple weeks was sort of just almost airlifted by just the excitement of being not confined to our four walls. And that's sort of been nice. And then, with the scripts this season, a lot of us were looking forward to getting stuck into that. And yeah, it's been great. It's been so much fun. I mean, I obviously came a bit later than everybody else. It was fun to sort of join in and catch up with everybody and see everybody's face and, sure, and distancingly hang out.
I've heard it both ways. We'll make it work.
Yeah. just really, really, really happy to be here. Yeah. So the mood is very positive one.
That's amazing. Was this your first gig post COVID, pre COVID?
It was.
Amazing.
It was. I was pretty busy beforehand. What happened was I was looking at my next job and I had to go and meet some people in New York over it. And this was before they had a case. And so I flew over to New York and I was there for like 20 hours maybe. And then I flew back to Los Angeles, and maybe like a week after that, I was like, I think I'm starting to feel a little ill. Like I feel like, I called my doctor and we met up and I was like, you know, do you think it's this COVID thing that's in the headlines? And he's like, no. That's all boat cruises. And he even Googled it in front of me. He's like, look, no new cases in New York. And I was and then that whole narrative changed and New York became like sort of America's ground zero for it. So I'm pretty sure I had it. He never officially tested me, but I was like, I mean, surely, right? I mean, I had all the symptoms and, coming off of that, I'm pretty excited to, we went through lockdown obviously back in Los Angeles, which was in, you know, it was tough. It was tough, but yeah, after the lockdown happened, it was just I believe Pandora was one of the first shows globally to go back to work. So I think that was sort of, it was fun to be there, and I definitely, you know, once I got here and people noticed that I was on sets again, I think a lot of people in the industry had questions for me and stuff like that regarding, you know, safety and protocol. And I just sort of let them know that what a great job, you know, the crew here in Bulgaria is doing. They're just absolutely wonderful and fantastic. And I adore each and every one of them.
That's wonderful. It's great to hear. You know, next question, I would love to take a bit of a step back here. I'm so curious. How did you first get into acting? How did you first get the bug to become an actor?
It's a good question. It's interesting. I think I got the idea on a number of different occasions. I can't pinpoint though, like one moment where I was like, I want to be an actor. I think it's something that I like sort of wanted to try. I didn't really, you know, get too involved. And then, I actually had a really great drama teacher in high school, and I wasn't having the best time in high school, and she was sort of one of the I think I had a similar relationship with all my teachers. All my teachers hated me publicly but liked me privately. Like, they liked me, like if I ran into them at a grocery store, we could have a good chat, or, you know, they were super nice. Like, we had a bit, but like in class, because I wasn't the most well-behaved kid, you know, the second I would sit down in class, I remember like every teacher I had for every subject would be like, John, move, you're not sitting with your friends. So I was constantly shuffled around. But this one drama teacher, she would play the public like, oh, John, no, not again, sort of role. But then privately, I think because we had such good banter sort of, you know, in front of my classmates, I think she sort of maybe saw something there that could, she could help foster, and I think, sort of maybe send in a direction. And so she was one of the first people to suggest to me trying it. And it just so happened that Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks happened to be shooting a TV show up the road in Geelong, which is like real close to my front door in Melbourne. Odds of that, you know, and, so that sort of coincided with that. And they were looking, I think they needed a bunch of, Japanese soldiers, obviously, to represent the other side of the war,
and this would have been for the Pacific.
This
2012 was it?
This was like 2008, 2009. Like, this really was bad. This was a while back, I was like, oh yeah, sick. Let's do it. Let's get amongst it. And I read for this part, which was a sort of a featured extra part. It wasn't much at all, but basically it was a scene with Joe Mazzello, who's a legend, and you know, he's been acting. So he was the little kid in Jurassic Park, so he's been acting forever. And Rami Malek. And so those were the two sort of scene, sort of they were in the scene, and the whole bit was, you know, they're sort of discovering their regrets already and their struggles with war itself and what it means. And then this kid sort of comes climbing out of this cave, and they realize, you know, it's a kid that's unarmed and completely, you know, blown to pieces. And they were basically like, oh, well, we can't kill this kid. But then he gets shot anyway by one of the other soldiers. And
so it's a happy ending.
So that was my first bit. So along with Greg Lee, this, I think the Pacific, I get, I die a lot. I think I have a really good dying face.
You so do, yes.
I'm trying to take Sean Bean's jobs away from him now. I think that's sort of the...
That's why we keep bringing you back, is that we love your dying face so much. We just keep wanting to do it again and again.
I appreciate that.
So my next question then would be, you know, as long as I've known Mark, he has always talked just high praise about you, like from the very beginning. And so I'm so curious, how did you guys first meet? How did you first get into Mark's wheelhouse?
Mark Altman might be the nicest man in Hollywood. He's extremely knowledgeable on not just the facets of film and TV, but just specific genres. Like, you know, I don't know if there's a smarter person I've ever met or come across in my travels. I'm genuinely sort of shocked at how much information that man can store. and then just to sort of on top of that, just be this very sweet, genuine, caring guy. I mean, like this entire show, he has put every ounce of energy that he has into it. And I cannot praise that man enough. So the feeling is mutual, absolutely. But I came across him first. He joined The Librarians, which was a TNT series that I was doing for a couple seasons. And he came on board, I believe, season 3. And so him and his writing partner, Steve Crozier, we all met up for some food in Los Angeles before we went to Oregon to shoot. And yeah, I just got along so well with those boys immediately. I think we all have sort of a similar sense of humor. We all get along. And it's sort of, yeah, I'm really just grateful to have come across those guys. I think you, in Hollywood, you get a lot of different personality types. And so it's sometimes not super common to click right away on a genuine and organic level, but I'm really glad it happened with these boys, and they'll be mates. I mean, they'll be at my wedding, you know. I just absolutely adore them. And yeah, so that's how I met them, and then we had a really great time on that. And you know, they went on and did a couple other things, and then sort of made sense a couple years later, I guess, for them. They were looking at this sci-fi series that Mark, I think he knows a thing or two about sci-fi. He might have watched an episode of Star Trek, maybe.
He's vaguely a fan.
But no, they gave me a call. We all met up again, and this was, you know, a couple years after the fact. And you know, it just was the quickest yes I've ever given in my entire career. You know, it was just sort of it made too much sense. And I was really excited. And yeah, to the end of my days, I will absolutely pick up the phone for either of those gentlemen. But I'm just so excited that they, you know, were thought to bring me in, and for such a interesting, nuanced character that I was super excited to play. You know, I think that's the sort of something that I have been pushing for my reps and things like that, to sort of get amongst roles that aren't, you know, prototypically portrayed by Asian actors. So it's sort of nice for them to, you know, be like, yeah, you know, you're going to play this basically a romantic love interest, which is a rarity, specifically for Asian males. So that was sort of something that was super interesting. And I'm just eternally grateful to those boys.
Yeah, you know, what I really love about the show, I mean, I came onto the show in the second season. And so the first season I was just watching it as a fan, but I loved how they challenged, maybe isn't the right word, but they never conformed to any sort of stereotypes, you know, and they always like to, I think, present the world that we all hope we can live in one day, you know. And yeah, I always really appreciated that.
I think that's what's wonderful about sci-fi as a genre. You know, I think they always say how it's the underlying factor of portraying the future is the inclusivity of how we've had to band together to, you know, ensure the survival of the human race. I think the only way forward, I think, is to really, you know, rely on each other and lean on each other and support each other. And I think it's a beautiful thing. The whole sort of, I guess, the crux or the very sort of opening point of the DNA, all the threads of sci-fi sort of relate back to this idea that it becomes man as a whole. And then I think now more than ever, that is such an important message to get out there. I think it's just so fitting that, you know, in the current times that we're existing in, I think to have something like this on the air is invaluable.
I'm curious, you talked a bit about it, but when they called you directly, so you didn't have to audition for this role at all.
No, and the cast gives me a lot of crap for that. I take a bit for that. No, I think having worked together previously, I think they know my level of, that sounds arrogant, level of talent. Like they know. I think they're aware of my, there's no way to say this without sounding like a jerk. They know I can act. Is that like, I guess like the most basic way of putting it. So I think, sure. So yeah, God, that sounds terrible. But yeah, they know that I know what a camera is. And so, there we go. And I think that's the thing. The thing about them both, they've both maintained, they've both had long-standing careers in the industry. And so they've maintained these numerous relationships. I think they're quite good at keeping in touch with people. So I think I wasn't the only one. I believe like Johan Erb and Tina Cassiani, I think they're all... they were all people that they were aware of and had previously worked with and did. I think some of us were fortunate enough not to go through the painful experience that is that is auditioning.
Sure.
But yeah, I made fun a lot of that. Yeah.
And did you know going into it that it was going to be like three episodes and done?
Yeah. Okay. That's the first thing we had discussed actually, because at the time I believe I was on a time crunch and I was sort of, you know, coming out to Eastern Europe, which funnily enough, I don't think I've told this story yet. We had sort of discussed everything and CW was the first thing they'd mentioned that, you know, the network it was going to be airing on. And I was like, oh, okay, CW, it's, you know, I know they film a lot of their stuff in Atlanta or Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And so sort of automatically had that assumption. And then they sort of go to discuss sort of like how long it's going to take and where it's going to be. And for years and years and years, you know, being an actor, I have, you know, actor friends who audition a lot. A lot of them get really close to parts. And I would always say, I have no idea why, but my like one comforting line that I would like constantly use across the board would be, oh, well, mate, you know, I'm sorry you didn't get the part, but, you know, hey, this industry is unpredictable and you could be on a set in Bulgaria next week. You know what I mean? You could get a call Friday that you're, and I've been saying that for years. I think I had 3 or 4 years. So here I am sitting at this restaurant and they're like, yeah, you know, we're filming this thing at CW, blah, 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 blah. And well, guess where we're shooting? And I go, where are we shooting? They're like, Bulgaria. And I had this just total like zone out like moment of this. Like I spoke this into existence. I made this happen. My power of word is I'm a genie. I'm absolutely a genie. And it was so funny. Yeah, I had immediately told them like, I'm sorry, I have to stop you there. This is so funny because, and then I tell. So that's actually, everybody that's here, they can thank me because it was my doing. It was absolutely,
That's hilarious. That's amazing. Although in some ways it worked out very well because Europe especially has been treating this whole COVID crisis a lot better than particularly America has. So, you know, the show is able to continue, whereas a lot of shows over here, I mean, I'm sure you heard the news the other day how Stumptown got canceled from its second season. And that was
unreal.
Huge charger. Yeah. I mean, that was a huge hit show and just gone.
Unreal. You know? It's a wild time right now. I think without even obviously nobody could have forecasted obviously the year that was, but without even meaning to, they somewhat COVID-proofed themselves by settling on Sofia as a location, and then it's just so funny because like now I think the industry is starting to outsource locations and. Mm-hmm. The second I got here, I bump into Robert Patrick in the elevator. Megan Fox is staying in the hotel. And I'm like, what's going on? And it seemed like if you sat out the front of the hotel every day, like a van load of actors would just come out. And it's like, I think everybody's coming here now. So Mark, without meaning to, was sort of first in, best dressed. Yeah.
Wow, it's going to be the new Hollywood over there.
Yeah, I mean, the Hollywood of Eastern Europe, I suppose.
Yes.
No, it's pretty amazing. I couldn't believe that without even meaning to. Because, yeah, they've sort of, I guess, managed it a lot better in some sense. Or at least for whatever reason, their numbers just don't happen to be, you know, mirroring it back in the United States. So I guess that sort of makes sense for a lot of productions to head out this way, I think.
It's going to be interesting. People working, you know, that's very important.
At the end of the day, I mean, like, yeah, they just, these people want to, they want to tell stories and they want to get this done in a safe and practical way. And I think Mark's managed to do that, sort of blindly lucking into the best location to shoot something at this current stage. So, I mean, like, I mean, and like I said before, the safety protocols that the entire crew takes, you know, knock on wood, it's been 3 months and they haven't had a case yet. So test positive. So, I mean, that's absolutely a credit to the crew and to the team behind the show and everybody that's, you know, had a hand in looking after themselves and washing their hands and rocking those masks and whatever little gesture it takes to get past this thing, you know. And I really hope that, you know, one day we look back on this and we really, you know, are able to applaud how we galvanized and came together and really, you know, sort of stuck together in a time of deep crisis, you know. And yeah, I'm just proud of everybody. Very proud of everybody here.
That's amazing. I completely agree with you. I hope so. I hope that's the way history looks back on us. But America is lagging behind a bit.
we'll know. You know, eventually. But I mean, yeah, I think you know, Australia, my home country, obviously, they're they were dealing with their own sort of outbreak, and you know, New Zealand, but they've managed to quell it. And New Zealand's doing a bit better now. And I know Vietnam had some good numbers come up, and South Korea's, you know, sorted out two waves. So I think you know, I think it's possible. If anything, it shows it's possible. And yeah, I'm just you know, I like everybody, I'm sick of the word. I'm over the like discussion. Like I believe a friend of mine's like trying to start a drinking game where like anytime you mention the word coronavirus or COVID, you have to take a shot regardless of the time of day.
So show him this podcast and
so I probably owe about six. I'm as much as, you know, it's easy to get over it and get frustrated. And that's being totally understandable. I think, if anybody needs to hear this, it's that like, we're all feeling it. We're all right there. And despite all that, we're going to do this. Like I believe in us and I want to believe it. I want to believe better of the human race, as a whole. I don't want to get too, you know, preachy or spiritual or hippie, but like, I just think that we all can contribute and that, you know, what's that quote? There's a light in all of us, you know? And I just think that it's time that, you know, we just try and show our best selves and be our best, friends, be the best neighbors we can be the best kids, the best, everything that we, in a day from the time that our head comes off that pillow to the time that it hits it again at the end of the day, I think that we just need to show out the best example of ourselves. And it's not easy, but you know, I think we can do it.
So back to Pandora. I'm curious.
Yep.
You got the call. They wanted you to. They wanted you to come back for episode 13 of season one. Yep. Well, you know, was that just completely out of the blue? Were they like, "Hey, you're not dead. Guess what?"
I'd heard little things like that. I might be coming back in a sort of dream sequence or, you know, like coming back in terms of like maybe as like a hologram or something to that effect, because it's sci-fi and Mark actually, he's so clever with the whole universe and how it operates. I think you could ask him the most obscure question, like, how do people clip their toenails in the future? And he'll already have like three different answers and methods. And, you know, so when I figured he'd be smart enough to bring me back in a way that I think was going to justify a return. And so I was sort of like, I was on board. I trusted Mark entirely. And then I get the script and you know, I'm, you know, obviously reading it. I'm reading the opening car sequence along with Priscilla, who is just an absolute gem. And I was like, cool, that's really clever. That's, I like that as a little throwback. You know, we've got that sort of, old American vibe. I believe we shot on a street, on a lot called America Street, which I thought was really fitting. And basically, so I get through all that. I'm like, cool, great. And sort of, you know, left it there. I think I was maybe like 3/4 of the way through the script and I was figuring that my part was done. And I think I went to a coffee, came back and just flicked through the last like 12 pages. And then I see Greg's name again. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And you know, they're on Hypatia Prime, they're releasing the slaves. And I'm like, excuse. And then I see, you know, out of nowhere, Greg Lee, you know, alive and well, amongst the slaves. And I'm thinking, like, my jaw dropped immediately. I was like, and I had no idea. And immediately I called Mark and I'm like, wait, what? This is sick. And he already like, it's so funny. The man sort of has a contingency for everything. He was just like, oh yeah. Yeah. We're going to explain that really, you know, in depth. And he already had, I think, ideas for season 2 on how that would make sense. And, I think that's the thing about CW. They're notorious for not necessarily killing people with the finality that killing would be in, you know, real life. Obviously, because it's a video. I thought it was really funny. And I was really happy, I think, just to have the idea that I could possibly be brought back. And I'm just really glad. I'm really glad the dates worked out, and that I got to come back and hang with, you know, I'm really good mates with the cast and really good mates with the crew. So sort of, I don't think I would ever turn down an opportunity to hang with these people. It was probably half my motivation to come back, honestly, was to see some of these lovely faces.
That's fantastic. I'm curious if you were conscious at all of any specific, without getting into too many spoilers, I suppose, but any specific changes to your own acting style that you wanted to employ between seasons 1 and 2?
Yeah, physicality was a big thing. The idea that he's not the same person physically. I sort of, I'm never usually too or over-involved, I should say, with things like wardrobe and makeup and things of that nature. But I already had an idea of sort of what this guy had been through and everything that he's experienced. And so I think physicality was a big thing that I wanted to play, that he moves a little slower every now and then. I think it's harder for him to, he's been through a lot. So I think at this point, we already know that he's blown up in a spaceship and he's been a slave for a minute. So he's not necessarily, you know, a happy, jovial Greg Lee from, you know, the bar episode 1. You know? And so I wanted to really employ that, but I sort of played with the levels of that. And I think you'll see it sort of reflects dependent on what's sort of happening at that time of the episode, how much pep is in his step. And I really sort of wanted to make sure that was a focus. And then beyond that, obviously, of course, he's been through a lot. You'll find out season 2 where, you know, Greg Lee, you know, I think we can all assume that it hasn't been the happiest of existences since the last time he saw his love. And, I think they did a wonderful job. There's some really, really, really incredibly written scenes that sort of detail how that's been and where he's been and what he's been up to. And, I really enjoyed the chance to sort of play the darker version of Greg Lee, if you will.
That's fantastic. It's fantastic. Well, John, I don't want to take up too much more of your I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I know you're on set right now. You want to get back to it, of course. What do you got coming up soon? If you got anything you want to plug? You got anything you want to?
Immediately, me and Oliver Dench are about to go do our COVID test
amazing
together, so that's gonna amazing. Be but
your friend just took another shot right there, so cheers to him.
And I'm about to return for the 4th season of Fox's 911. We're getting amongst that I believe sometime very soon. And the return of Albert Hahn and all the things and mischief that he brings to the table. So other than that, just right now, just trying to survive. and take it day by day. So I'm really happy to have even just the opportunity to discuss something like that's not COVID has been wonderful. So thank you for that, Peter.
Where can fans find you? Where can they, are you on socials? What?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at John Harlan Kim. I believe across the board. I think I'm also on Facebook, but that might not actually be me. I think, either my mother or some, somebody runs that. I don't actually. Yeah. So if you get an invite from the Facebook page, maybe it's most likely a catfish.
Good. It's good to know.
Yeah. Just a warning. All right, mate. Thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it.
It's fantastic. No problem. And listeners out there, you can find us at Pandora Writers on Instagram and Twitter. Feel free to leave us 5 stars on your podcast provider. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everywhere else. John, thank you so much again for this. This was fantastic. So we'll say goodbye and until next time.
All right. Get some sleep, Peter.
You too. Or have another cup of coffee, I suppose. I don't know. Enjoy your COVID test. All right, John, thank you so much again, man. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Of course. Later, mate.
All right, man. See ya.